Psalm 119. When I read this, I'd like you to think of it as the words of the Lord himself, and it is, but it's also the words of the writer of this psalm and his own experience, and that's mainly how I'm going to be looking at it. But while I read this, think of these as being the words of the Lord himself. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. Let's pray. Lord, how we love your word. How thankful we are that you've given us your word that reveals thy son. And Lord, we ask that you would take your word and quicken each one of us by your irresistible power and grace. Enable us to behold the beauty of your son. How we thank you for him. Lord, we ask that you would give us the grace to enter in personally by your Spirit into this passage of Scripture. Teach us what it means. We pray that your gospel would be preached in the power of your Spirit, and we pray that we might be enabled to worship you. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord. Give us the grace to truly confess our sins before you. Lord, we ask that you would cause us by your grace to be poor and to mourn and to be meek and to hunger and thirst after your righteousness, that you would enable us to be pure in heart, peacemakers, merciful. And we would ask for the grace to be persecuted for the righteousness of thy son's sake. Glorify yourself in our midst. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I pray that the Lord will give me and you the grace to enter into this statement. Now, when he says remember thy word unto thy servant, he's not afraid he's not going to remember it. He is using that same thought that David used when he said, do as thou hast said. You said this. This is your word. Remember this to do this for me. Do as thou hast said. Remember thy word, the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Now I love to think of this thing of hope from the scriptures. It's so different than I hope so, you know. Hope it doesn't rain today. Nothing like that at all. Hope is a confident expectation of good from God, you know you're going to have it because he said it. Now, with regard to hope, hope is not something you see. It's something you expect. I have a hope that when I stand before God on Judgment Day, that I will be judged by him as someone who has never committed a sin. That's what justification is. I have a hope that I'm going to stand before him and he's going to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I know this, that has absolutely nothing to do with what I have done in time in this body. It's because Christ did well. And if he did well, I did well. He is my righteousness. Now that's my hope. And I have a hope that everything between that day of judgment and right now is working together for my good and his glory, because that's what the Bible promises. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that's my hope. My hope is that I'm going to stand before God perfect on Judgment Day. I can't see that, but I believe it because the Word of God teaches this. I'm going to stand before God perfect. That's my hope. And that everything between now and then is all going to be for my good. No worries. No worries. Nothing to worry about because God is in absolute control of everything. I love it when the Lord gives me the grace to believe that. You know, a lot of times I'm not thinking that way, neither are you. We ought to all the time, shouldn't we? But what a blessed thing it is when the Lord impresses on our mind, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction." Now you can see the Lord saying that. He said, "I'm the man that has seen afflictions infinitely more so than you or I will ever know anything about." But this is David speaking, or whoever wrote this psalm. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Now, affliction. We're living in a fallen world, and there is afflictions involved in that. I think the chief affliction that a believer experiences is the fact that he's still a sinner. That is an affliction. Living in a body that is sinful. I love that song we sing, or it's always sung as a special, "Waiting for my body that will never sin." I'm waiting for that. And what a glorious thing that will be, to be without sin. And in this world, the Lord said, "In the world you shall have tribulation," the afflictions of life, of the terrible things that we are going to experience in life, the sickness, the disappointments. There's all kinds of trouble in life. And that is a part of the afflictions of this body. But we have this comfort in our afflictions, that his word hath quickened me. I don't know how to say this, but when you're enabled to hear the word and the power of the Holy Spirit, you feel quickened, don't you? You feel life. Life from the dead. And it's such a wonderful thing. "Thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath given me life." Listen to this scripture. Of his, James 1:18, "Of his own will begat he us, quickened us, given us life through the word of truth." There's such power in his words. You know, even in preaching the gospel, I am convinced that the only thing the Lord uses is his word. Just his word. Not my comments on the word. His word. His word quickened me. And I love the word of God. I love the Bible. It's quickened me. Verse 3. proud. Now that word is the same word translated scornful in Psalm 1:1. The scornful, those who scorn. And it's part of pride. They go together. And pride is the most delusional sin there is. That's the best word I can think of. It's delusional. What do you got to be proud about? I think of that scripture, who made you to differ from somebody else? What do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory? As if it came from you. And no man has any reason to be proud, because whatever you do, God gave you the grace to do it. You can't give yourself the credit for it on any level. It's a delusional sin. It's so contrary to the gospel. The proud have had me greatly in derision. And you can see these as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet it's also the experience of the believer. They have no love for the gospel, we believe. It's contrary to their experience. It's contrary to their hope. So they have us greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law. Now, first of all, we see the Lord saying this, but I wish that we could enter into the glory of this. This is the testimony of every believer because of the righteousness of Christ being their personal righteousness before God. I've not declined from the law. Now, the only way I'm not afraid of the law is if I've kept it. And in Christ, I have kept it. I have not declined from God's holy law. I have a perfect obedience before God's holy law. I've kept it. I've not declined. Well, yeah, you have. No, I haven't. Not in Christ. And my salvation's in Christ. And I have not declined. These are the words of the Lord, yes, but it's the words of every believer too. I've kept God's holy law. Now look what he says in verse 52. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Now that word of old is also translated in the Psalms in Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting. Now what this is talking about is the eternal nature of his judgments and his salvation. This is what the psalmist says comforts me. This comforts me. I love Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before I was a sinner, there's the Savior. Before I had any existence, there's the Savior. That comforts me. I think of what the writer to the Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. All the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That comforts me. It lets me know that salvation has nothing to do with my works, because my salvation was accomplished before time began. Listen to this scripture for the children. Being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now that's how much salvation doesn't have anything to do with my works. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. Does that comfort you? 2 Timothy 1:9, he saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That comforts me. That comforts every believer. Do we intellectually comprehend it? No. Do we believe it with all our hearts? An eternal salvation. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. I was talking about salvation before time. Now I'm going to talk about an eternal glorification in whenever eternity future is then. That's how complete this salvation is. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I remember thy judgments. That's talking about the judgments of the cross of old. God is a God of righteousness and judgment. Everything is perfectly righteous, perfectly just. It all took place before time began. And I comfort myself, O Lord. Look in verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Now, we first of all see these as the words of the Lord, but look in verse 136 of this same chapter. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Now, as I said, we can certainly see this is the Lord's sentiment. And this word horror is a mixture of hurt and indignation. I'm horrified. I'm terrified. I hope we will not become so hardened and desensitized by sin that we do not have this horror concerning sin in others, or most especially in ourselves. I hope I am horrified by my sin. Yes, the sin of others, but this is talking about this. It's drawn from a love to God, a love to his character, being amazed at his grace toward you, to where you're horrified that you could commit such sin against God. I pray that the Lord would deliver us from becoming hardened toward sin. You know, I think of that scripture that speaks of the deceitfulness of sin. And it's so deceitful. What does the writer say? Horror. And in verse 136, he said, rivers of water come out of my eyes because they keep not thy law. Now, this is the attitude we all should have toward sin in ourselves and others. These things write unto you, that you sin not. You know, I love that command. I love it. It's so glorious. It's so perfect. Well, how can you love it if you sin? It's God's word. And I have that advocate with the Father. But I love this admonition. These things write unto you, that you sin not. Rivers of water come out of my eyes. Now let's go on reading. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. And look at this verse 54. You can see this is the words of the Lord, but it's the words of every believer too. Thy statutes. Now, this is the word that when we find the word decree in the Bible, thou hast declared the decree. This is the same word. Everything in time was decreed by God in eternity. Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Everything that happens is because of God's eternal decree. There's nothing that happens outside of this. You say, well, what about all the bad things? Well, I understand you thinking that, but God brings good out of evil. I don't understand how he does it, but I believe it because I trust his character. His character, he's good. Whatever he does is good. I don't have to understand it. I believe in his goodness. No matter what takes place, God is good. God is good all the time. And his statutes, that's everything that takes place. That is a part of the all things that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. His statutes put a song in my heart. I'm glad it's that way. It makes me happy. What would you think of if God wasn't in complete control? Who is then? No, he's in absolute sovereign control of everything all the time. It's not difficult for him. And that puts a song in my heart. And I love to think of the Lord having a song in his heart when he walked upon this earth. I think of him singing to his Father in perfect communion, perfect submission. Oh, the singing of the Lord. I love it where it says, in the midst of the church, I'll sing praise to thee. That means we get to listen to this song, his singing to his Father. And there's something very special about that. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. You know, we're pilgrims. We're only here temporarily. Not much time left. Isn't that glorious? There's not much time left. Before very long, I'm going to be in the very presence of Jesus Christ, seeing his face, worshiping him in perfect likeness to him. You know, when I think of, I love Psalm 17:15, where David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Now, the way I am right now, I think if I saw his face, I'd go down quick. I'd be ashamed. But one of these days, there'll be nothing to be ashamed of. I'll behold his face in perfect righteousness. And that's when I'll be satisfied when I awake. Think of this time. This is a promise to every believer. I'm going to awake. I'm going to die. And after the days of this pilgrimage are over, I'm going to die and I'm going to awake in the very likeness of Jesus Christ. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Now, obviously, we can see these as the words of Jesus Christ himself. I think of when he was in the night, when darkness covered the face of the earth, he never quit believing God. He remembered his name in the night. Now, when me and you are put in the night, and we've never put in nightness like that, I realize that, but we become unbelieving so quick. Not him. In utter darkness, when he was separated from God, when he felt nothing but the awful frown and wrath of his Father, when darkness covered the world, he remembered the name of his Father. The name of God represents the person behind the name. You know that. His attributes. His holiness. His righteousness. His justice. His mercy. His independence. His immutability. Whatever attribute there is of God is represented by his name. And isn't it a blessing when sometimes me and you are, to some extent, in the night, in the dark, we feel by ourselves, we feel isolated, we feel alone, we feel that way. But God, by his grace, enables us to remember at least his name. His name. Who he is. Faith is believing who he is. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ could say this, but so can everyone in him. I have kept thy law. In Christ, I have kept his law. That's why I have nothing to fear. I'm a lawkeeper. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I have kept his holy law. Now, the only way anyone demonstrates any true respect and reverence for the law of God is if they know that Jesus Christ is their only obedience before that law. Now, that's when you respect the law. Anything less than that is disrespect and irreverence toward the holy law of God. The only thing the law accepts is perfect obedience, and every believer has that in Jesus Christ. Isn't that glorious? I've kept the law. This I had, verse 56. This I had because I've kept thy precepts. I've kept thy word. Now, justification, the message of the Bible is how God can be just and justify the ungodly. How he can be just and look at me and say, that man's just. That man's never sinned. That man's kept the law. How can that be? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ made the way for God to be absolutely just and justify this person and say, he's kept the law. Because Christ kept the law, I kept the law. What a glorious gospel we believe.